Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go. Hour 3, we're live in Sherman Oaks, next to Los Angeles. Well, part of L.A. County. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. The Hall of Famer, Eric Dickerson. I just drove by Eric Dickerson's house the other day. I told my wife, I said, Eric Dickerson, he's lived over there like 35 years. Never moved. We've moved like 10 times. We're moving constantly. Joy Taylor is joining me. So, Joy, how many houses or condos or apartments have you lived in since you've been an adult? I can't hear. Her audio's not up. I think I've been in like, I bet you I've been in 20. I bet you I've lived in almost 20 places. All over the place. I was thinking about this. I had my herd hierarchy. I had my top 10. I do it every Tuesday, 1 hour ago. So put the top 10 up. The one team that is missing. Now, I said I put Cleveland at 11, but I had Kansas City 1, Steelers 2, Saints 3, Rams 4, Bills 5, Colts 6, Packers 7, Raiders 8, Seahawks 9, Tennessee 10. I think I have Seattle a little low, and I probably have Green Bay a tad high, but I'm comfortable with it. The one team that's not in there is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, right? And I had them at 4. But there's things that I struggle with. I look for certain things, and there's 3 things Tampa has right now I just don't like. First of all, they have no offensive identity. What are they? I hate that. Secondly, the head coach and the quarterback are not on the same page. I hate that. Third, you get a different team every week. I hate that. And what's interesting is the grass is always greener. They're the opposite of New England. In New England, Brady, his team's had an identity. He and the head coach were on the same page, and they were bizarrely consistent. And when he went to Tampa, the grass is always greener. He just saw talent. And I get it. I mean, I was surprised by Tampa, but I get it. I mean, you look and they have like 7, 8 really good players. But the infrastructure of New England is so much better than Tampa. I'll give you an example. Right now, New England is 4-6. If they beat Arizona, it'll be a close game. They're 5-6. Tampa plays Kansas City. They'll lose. They'll be 7-5. Look at the talent disparity between those two teams. I mean, it is. If you name the top 10 players, New England and Tampa, I think all 10 are New England. It may be first 12. And if New England wins, and I think Tampa will lose to Kansas City, they're separated by 2 games. What? So, you know, it's New England always had this belief. And when you walked into New England's facility, there's a board and it says, we're building a team. We're not just collecting talent. Tampa feels like they just have a collection of talent. And when I watch them play, I think the quarterback and the coach are not on the same page. I don't know what they are week to week. They're wildly inconsistent. Listen, Cleveland is consistent. Tampa's not. And if they face any kind of pass rush, the Buccaneers just crumble. And their pass rush last night, not a factor. So, you know, it's a great collection of talent, and I totally get why Tom asked for a divorce and he gets the new young starlet. I get it. Like, I get why people are attracted to that. Right. But the base infrastructure of knowledge and smarts and consistency and pedigree is so much better in New England. Like, I can see New England getting one of these top 4 quarterbacks. I can. And then the rest of their draft, Because their offensive line's actually, they got two young, great offensive linemen in Tampa. Their offensive lineman's going to be really, their offensive line's going to be fine. Their running backs, they need another, but Damian Harris is really good. I can see Tampa getting a young quarterback, Josh McDaniels developing him, and next year being a really good football team. I can see it. 10 wins next year. I could totally see it. I look at Tampa, and maybe I'm being too harsh. Maybe throwing all this stuff together is this big jambalaya, and you know it just takes a while for it to mix. It could very well be that. But boy, if you look at the things that matter to me, an identity, the coach and the quarterback aligned, consistency, I just don't have any of it. I mean, Tennessee's limited, total offensive identity. Raiders don't have a good defense, total offensive identity. Tampa's a collection of really good players. And, you know, if you look at the history of this league, that doesn't win a lot of games. Speaking of football, Doug Peterson. Do we have the Doug Peterson bite before we have the Trent Dilfer bite? Do we? Doug Peterson, you know, the big question is, in Philadelphia, what do you do with Carson Wentz? Do you start Jalen Hurts? At this point, you know, I'm for winning games. Do whatever you got to do. Here's Doug Peterson, the head coach.
I have the final say because I'm the head coach, and I get to make those decisions. But again, Angelo, it comes with careful consideration by myself, but that will be, you know, that will be my decision if that happens.
So, you know, I was thinking about this. The Ravens play Thursday. Are the Ravens in Philadelphia in a similar situation? The difference is Philadelphia has been dealing with for a longer period of time than Baltimore has. Is that you got these really talented quarterbacks, but some of the people in the organization now see things and they think we may not be able to correct them. You look at Carson Wentz, he's reckless. Are there people now in Philadelphia's organization saying you can't coach a guy out of reckless? I think there are people saying that. And I think there are people looking at Lamar Jackson saying, yeah, we know he's talented like Carson Wentz, but he can't make the throws on the outside. And these are not unique questions because we know Lamar and Carson, we know they're talented. You know, if you move off a young quarterback like Josh Rosen, you just don't feel he has the it or the arm or the escapability. Like, that's generally like Paxton Lynch. You're like, there's no it there. You move off guys all the time. With Wentz and Lamar, the talents, I mean, Lamar's the best athlete at quarterback in the league, and Carson's a big body with a big arm, and we've seen him save the team and make dynamic plays. But I was thinking this morning, think about even good teams. How many teams in the NFL are not either having private meetings or conversations about their quarterback? Even a good team and a good coach like San Francisco, we think they've moved off Garoppolo. New Orleans, this is Drew Brees' last year. The Colts, how long with Phillip Rivers? Those are good teams, good rosters. How many teams in the NFL are not having private conversations? The Packers did during the draft. They took Jordan Love. So they had calls. They had questions. Aaron Rodgers, the numbers are declining. What about Pittsburgh? There's talk now about getting the next Big Ben. They drafted a quarterback a couple years. You can't say Pittsburgh. How many teams in this league, and I'm defending Lamar and Carson Wentz here, although Carson's been worse, and it's been longer than the concerns about Lamar Jackson. But ask yourself, be totally honest, how many teams in the NFL are not having private meetings or discussions about their quarterback? Kansas City, obviously. I think the Chargers feel very good about where they're at with Justin Herbert. Seattle. Arizona with Kyler Murray. They're in love with him. Houston. Yeah, Deshaun Watson's not perfect. Rams. They've paid Jared Goff. They're a very good team with Jared Goff. He's been to a Super Bowl. You may not like him. They love Goff. They like his everything about Goff. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Rams, Houston, Chargers, Kansas City, Seattle, Arizona. Green Bay. You can't tell me Green Bay. They had questions at the draft. You can't tell me Pittsburgh. New Orleans, San Francisco, Indy, many of the good teams. So I guess what I'm saying is Wentz and Lamar are the toughest questions. You know they're talented enough. You know they've won a bunch of games. You've seen them carry their team. But can you coach somebody out of reckless? Wentz, I don't know. Can Lamar ever make those difficult perimeter outside the hash marks throws? I don't know. Trent Dilfer was on the show yesterday. He had a thought about Carson Wentz and what's going on in Philadelphia with the Eagles.
He's wildly talented. As talented as any player in this league. But he is playing awful football for an extended period of time, and I blame the coaching. If my quarterback did that, I would say that is my fault. It is our job to coach him harder and to coach this stuff out of him. I can't coach his talent, but I can coach the rest. And I think they've just done an awful job of being too soft on him and let him continue to do the reckless thing he does that costs his team games.
And I think my overall point is very few people in this league, very few teams are completely satisfied with their quarterback. Now you're seeing a bunch of these college kids come out. They're really good. Even the good teams. The Saints have a quarterback issue in a year. Pittsburgh maybe in two. Tampa in two. Well, maybe Tampa in one. San Francisco, Indianapolis. So, I mean, the best thing going for Baltimore and Philadelphia, you know their quarterbacks are talented, but they've hit this like wall, and can you coach them out of reckless or out of the inability to make the throws on the outside? I don't know. I'm not a football coach. But I don't think what Philly and Baltimore are going through, the whispers, the questions, I don't think it's rare. I think it's rare in the league if you don't have them. I mean, Chargers and Arizona love their young guys. Seattle and Kansas City like their guys. And the list gets real thin, real fast. I said I was watching Matt Ryan this week. And this is the second time I've watched him and said this. I think it's time to move on. Just the arm zip isn't there. He's not mobile. He's limited. Now, I will say I left out Gruden and Derek Carr. I'm going to let the rest of this year play out. I do think John Gruden and Derek Carr have been remarkable this year. So I didn't include them in the they're all good. I think they've been all good for about 5 weeks. So I'm going to let that play out. But maybe that's one I missed on. Hall of Famer Eric Dickerson joins us next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
It is funny how the media, we're all crushing Bruce Arians and Tom Brady, and nobody will say, I think the Rams are good. I said this earlier. We all know the Steelers and the Chiefs are the best two teams in the AFC. I think we both all acknowledge that. I do think the Steelers wish they had a better run game. But I think the Saints and the Rams are the two teams in the NFC don't have a real hole. What do the Rams not do pretty well? They generally can run it. They protect the quarterback. Les Snead, the general manager, has done a great job. They have so many talented wide receivers and tight ends. Everybody can play. All their receivers can run and catch. All their tight ends can run and catch. They got three backs. Two are really good. So nobody's giving the Rams credit today because in this cynical world, where guys like me come out and we rip the team that loses, I just think the Rams are better. And I think I said this going into the game, I took the Bucs to win. But I said, you'll know by the third series who's going to win. I said, if the Rams, Jared Goff is comfortable, they'll win. And they were. I was tweeting it last night. By the second series, you're like, Jared Goff is comfortable. This bodes well for the Rams. Second half, Jared Goff was comfortable. Brady wasn't. So I think we got to give the Rams more credit. The Rams don't have a big brand. I mean, they're not as big as the Dodgers in Los Angeles. They're not as big as the Lakers in Los Angeles. They just got here. They were here. They left. They're back. You know, they were an Orange County team over an L.A. County team. But they're good. They have the best defensive lineman, maybe the best corner, the best young coach maybe. Like, I think their secondary is remarkable, and their skill people, I don't think they've missed on any yet. I don't think Les Snead, in terms of drafting, I mean, Gurley got hurt. Brandon Cooks I wouldn't have traded for, but he could play. They have just been great getting skill people. And last night, Andrew Whitworth out, and by the way, Cam Akers was good last night, Van Jefferson, Jordan Fuller, all rookies. So they got great veterans, big stars, and their rookies are playing well. The Rams are good. Eric Dickerson was a Ram, a Hall of Famer. When he left the NFL, he was the number two all-time leading rusher, and he is now joining me live. I thought McVay outcoached Arians last night, and I watched the Rams, and I'm like, you know what? Outside of the Saints, I'd take him over anybody in the NFC. Am I being a little too L.A.-centric there?
Well, Colin, I'd say no. I mean, you've been saying it even, I think, before I've said it, that you like the Rams. I just wasn't sure about their team yet. And if you want to say we have a weakness, I would say, you know, I'm still not sure about our kicker. You know, I know we have just got signed Matt Gay, which he seemed to, you know, work out so far. Missed one field goal last night. But, you know, four is a weakness. We don't have a lot. And I got to say, for the game last night, that McVay really, I'd say he schooled Bruce Arians.
He did.
I mean, he really did. He schooled him. I think that, you know, one thing about McVay is he's going to make adjustments. If he doesn't, I'm shocked. But he does a really good job of making adjustments. And at halftime, he made some adjustments. Before the game started, I mean, you can see what the game plan. We're going to try to run the football, but if we can't, we're going to throw short passes, and they're going to be like runs. You know, we're going to throw the 3-yard, 5-yard crossing routes, the swing patterns, and let the receivers or the running back run with the football. And I got to say, they did a very good job of that. And so I'd say that, you know, right now, I mean, I think we are the best team, or one of the best teams, like you said, the Saints in the NFC.
Yeah. You know, I was saying this earlier. I said I thought McVay outcoached Arians, but I said maybe we're being unfair here. That no preseason, no camp, no OTAs. All Tampa was new coaches, new system, new players. They're on pace to win 10 games, which is what we all predicted. Maybe they're exactly what we thought. Talented, but they got thrown together. They're a little bit of a jambalaya here, and they're inconsistent. Could I make the argument that we're all overreacting, and this is kind of what they should be for what they are at this point?
I mean, I think they're playing very well for what they are right now. And like you said, they've got thrown together. I mean, this is Tom Brady's first year with Bruce Arians. I mean, last night to me, you saw what it was like for Batman without Robin. And to me, Tom Brady's Batman and Bill Belichick is Robin. And them not being together, it shows, because if that would have been a Bill Belichick team, it would have been some major adjustments made at halftime. And so, you know, you're seeing a team that they haven't been together. So the receivers don't really know Tom. They're learning him. He doesn't know them. You know, he's missing Julian Edelman. He's missing, a young Rob Gronkowski. So, you know, it's just it's a lot of ifs, ands, and buts there. You know, and it's just not – and, you know, one thing I can say, when I watched that game last night, it's one of the first times I can see Tom Brady really looked uncomfortable.
Yes.
Like, you know, like he just wasn't sure. And, you know, and I got to say, you think about the old Tom Brady. When he came to the line of scrimmage, if it was 2 minutes left, he's like, uh-oh, man, we gave him too much time. We gave him way too much time left. It was 2 minutes, 34 seconds left in that game, and our defense was putting pressure on him. You know, I think sometimes he was throwing the ball a little too quick, you know, just trying to get it out of his hands. And that's not vintage Tom Brady. But last night, you know, not having those, like, you know, he had James White in the Super Bowl 2 years ago, you know, and having that guy in the backfield, you know, you have running backs that really are not receiving running backs, you know, Leonard Fournette, Ron Jones. Good running the football, but they're not known for catching the football.
Right. Yeah. Eric Dickerson joining us. I want to talk about Derrick Henry. So every running back in my life had a different – the great ones. Walter Payton didn't look like Barry Sanders. Sanders didn't look like you. You don't look like Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry's one of those backs that – not that he seeks collisions, but he does appear to get stronger later in games. That goes counterintuitive. I would think the more you get hit – the more you get weakened. Go back to your career and talk about Derrick Henry. Are there times that you wanted 25 carries? You wanted the physicality. It empowered you.
Most definitely. For me, I was that guy. I mean, I didn't want to get 12 or 13 carries, you know, and, you know, five receptions. I'm more, give me the ball 25, 30 times. If I got 2-3 receptions, I'm good with that. But, you know, when you run the football, you run the football effectively, you know, you can really hurt the opposing defense. Because think about this: late in the game, if you like Derrick Henry, he's 265 with all those pads on. I'm a defensive back, and now I've got to try to come up and tackle a guy 265. He's running full speed. He then broke into the secondary. I've done this over and over. And I'm like, hey man, look, y'all got to do some stopping up there. You know, y'all got to slow him down at the top. That's what you tell your linebackers. You know, when I think about him, Derrick Henry is a dominant player. But when I think about the Tennessee Titans, can they go far with him? I would say no, because their defense is not that good this year, that they can't get any pressure on the quarterback. Now, if he was with the Rams or the Steelers, I would say yeah, because you know why? Because, you know, the Steelers need a running game. They have Ben Roethlisberger, and we have a great defense, and we have a great offensive mind in Sean McVay. You would use him just the same, or maybe it's a little bit different. But for the running back, man, you want to run that football as much as you can and get into a mode, get into that zone. And that's, to me, being a bigger guy and Derrick Henry being a bigger guy, the physicality doesn't bother us. I like getting physical because I like, you know, seeing a DB, you know, you have him frustrated. I'll tell him, hey, man, don't hit me in the legs. Hit me in my chest. Don't be a coward. And they're like, you're too big. You're too big. So you like all that kind of stuff.
I said I can admit I was wrong. I didn't know if John Gruden, I looked at him as a TV star and a former coach. And he comes in, and he's just been terrific. And I watch him play, and they're old school in the way they run the ball. But he's done such a good job with Derek Carr. And are you a little surprised that he took 10 years off? He walks back in, and Eric, he looks like as good as – I would vote him today coach of the year. I thought that loss Sunday was the best loss by a team in the league this year. Are you surprised by Gruden's effectiveness?
I got to say, yes, I am. I am surprised because, like you said, he took 10 years off. And taking 10 years off, I mean, you know, the game changes. I mean, my example is Mike McCarthy in Dallas. I just feel like that – I think he's the game may have kind of passed him some, but you know with Gruden, with Derek Carr. I mean, I always liked Derek Carr. You know, I liked him before his injury, and I knew it's going to take him a while to get back in the swing of things after the injury because you're going to be a little bit skittish. But I just felt that he took his time with Derek Carr because to me, Derek Carr has that I don't mind going for it attitude. You know, it's like I'm not afraid. No quarterback likes to get hit, but I said if you give him time, or if he has to, he'll run the football. He's a guy that I say got some true guts, a gumption. They call it gumption in the old word. He got some gumption. So for sure, I really like what he's done with Derek Carr.
So finally, I like the Colts over the Packers this weekend, and the game kind of went what I thought, which was the Colts are a physical team, the Packers are a more finesse team. And in the second half, the Colts just 14-play drive, 10-play drive, 8-play drive, running the football. Green Bay, I call them the convertible sports car of the NFL. Nobody looks cooler in good weather, but they're not built to be physical, which is odd because they're in Lambeau. Did you ever play in a single NFL team that you questioned their ability to be physical? Like, we all think all football teams are physical. But of the four or five teams you played for, did you ever play for a team and thought, we don't want to get in a fist fight? We're not a physical team.
For sure. My last 2 years with the Colts, most definitely. You know, we weren't a physical team anymore. I mean, I won't forget, it was we were playing the New York Giants on a Thursday night Monday night game. And I was getting into an argument with one of the defensive linemen. I was pissed. I mean, we arguing back and forth. And one of my offensive linemen says to me, come on, Eric, man, you're going to piss them off over there. Now, we're football players. What you mean I'm going to piss them off? I said to him, they're already pissed off. So you're afraid or what? So for sure, I mean, you have certain games and certain players that they're just not built for that. When I look at the Indianapolis Colts, Colts have probably one of the best defenses, if not the best defense in the National Football League. The Colts have one of the best head coaches in the NFL. When I look at with the Packers, if you take Aaron Rodgers away from the Packers are below average football team.
That's what I think.
I mean, yeah, I mean, they're below average football team. And you know what the thing is? It's so unfair that they put all this onus on him to do everything. I mean, I feel like if Aaron can't do it, then we're not going to get it done. Well, we lost. Well, Aaron only had 4 touchdowns. He should have had 6 touchdowns. And I just feel like that's a lot of pressure on a great player that they're just not giving him all the weapons that they could possibly give him to work with. And that's a defense and offense.
Yeah, the second half of that game, the Colts came out, Eric, in the second half, that a 14-play drive, a 10-play drive, and an 8-play drive. He sat on the sidelines and watched the second half. I mean, that's all he did. Every time they did a shot of him, he was on the bench watching the game.
Yeah, it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to do your magic from the sideline.
Yeah. Eric Dickerson, the Hall of Famer. Good talking to you, man.
Hey, thanks, Alvin.
You bet. Yeah, it's it is interesting. I've been critical of Aaron through the years, but they really feel just dependent on three guys: Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Jones, and Davante Adams. And they, like, for instance, I'll give you an example. They don't match up with the Rams at all, because the Rams would put Jalen Ramsey on Davante Adams, and that would take out a lot of Davante Adams, and then it would be, they have a good pass rush. And so you'd be very dependent on Aaron Jones. And I think the Rams are, you know, they're decent against the run. They're a tremendous secondary. But there's certain – I look at the Packers and I'm like, I didn't like them against the Colts. I don't think they match up against the Saints. I don't think they match up against the Rams. They don't match up against the Steelers. I don't think they match up. They match up with a team that has weak corners where Aaron and Davante Adams can have their way. But if you've got a really good corner, a good secondary like the Rams, I don't think Green Bay matches up with them. And as it gets later in the year, you know, it gets more physical, more about attrition. I think the Rams are a much deeper roster than Green Bay. Green Bay feels like 2 to 3 players reliant. And I look at I was critical of the Rams the last couple of years, but God, they have their wide receiving core, their secondary is loaded. They'll have guys out, and they have a surplus of players. Here's Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Oh, the NFC East. The Cowboys are still in the mix for the NFC East title at 3-7. And after snapping their 4-game losing streak Sunday with a big win over the Vikings, Zeke thinks his team is right on track. He said, "We never thought we were out of it. Our division's been struggling this year. We're right where we need to be with what's been going on with the division. We've got to build on this success, so we can't come out on a short week and take a step back against a division opponent. We've got to make sure we build on the success and keep getting better."
3.5-point favorites.
It's too early technically to say this is a must win for the Cowboys, because they can still mathematically win the division if they lose on Thursday. They still have one game remaining against each division opponent. So that's not the same for everyone else in the NFC East and their schedules. So, I mean, Zeke had 21 carries and a season high, 103 rushing yards and 1 receiving touchdown this week. I would go with the Cowboys, but it's really tough to say, looking at the landscape of the NFC East. But to me, when I think of who's going to win this division and who it really actually matters for, I feel like the way that this season's gone, it really would only feel significant to me as far as, you know, what you're building, if the Giants or Washington won the division. And I would actually tend to say that it wouldn't even really be that great for Washington to win the division, because they're still looking for a quarterback.
Well,
so
yeah,
to me, the Giants winning the division with Daniel Jones, with Joe Judge, that would seem like a significant accomplishment. Every other team in the division, it's like, okay.
Well, also, the Giants have 2 or 3 needs. Like, their defensive line's taken care of. I think they have their quarterback. Saquon Barkley comes back. And they have had a couple of backs step up. I think the Giants need probably another corner and a really nice offensive weapon. They need a couple perimeter weapons. And those are readily available at 6 through 15. So the Giants, like we've talked about, they're a little like Miami. I think they have to have – I think their offensive line's actually better. I think they've drafted that. I think Gettleman's drafted their offensive line. You can be losing games in the NFL, and I can like you. Like, I think the Giants right now, get a receiver, get another corner. I think they're in a good spot. I really do.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If they won the division, I would feel like they're trending in the right direction. Whereas everyone else, it's like, okay, you're just the best of a really awful division this year. Regardless, this is going to be a fun game on Thursday because it's a division game and it's Thanksgiving.
Yep.
So Patrick Mahomes has only scratched the surface of what he could possibly accomplish in his NFL career. And Michael Irvin thinks Mahomes can be as important to the game of football as Steph Curry has been to basketball.
I consider Patrick to be the Steph Curry of the NFL. Somebody that's going to take this thing to the next level. Steph Curry took 3-point shooting to the next level. In a sense, Pat Mahomes is doing some of that in the world of the NFL.
What do you think about that?
Well, I don't think
kind
there's
kind of an interesting comparison.
Yeah, I think Patrick Mahomes is like feels like Elway and Marino, where he's actually a very traditional player. He likes to throw from the pocket. He can move. Elway could move. I think Curry was just revolutionary because he was so unique. I think he's more Russell Wilson. I think Patrick Mahomes is kind of traditional. Big arm, confident. You can trust him. Like, Elway was great from behind games. Quick release. He had a kind of a spotty college career, but Elway didn't win big in college. He didn't. Russell Wilson, we don't remember a lot of his college. Last year at Wisconsin was good. So I don't see Mahomes as a unique or revolutionary talent. I just think maybe twice a decade, Joy, we get the next Elway. And I think with Mahomes, he's smart enough. He's a grinder. He's got a great arm. He's mobile. I just think I don't think he's a unique quarterback talent. I think he's a great traditional quarterback talent who came from kind of a weird, quirky college offense, so we didn't watch him. But I never think Mahomes is like inventing the game. I just think he's better at all the traditional stuff.
Steph Curry did get a lot of people drafted because he is such a great shooter, and he's not traditionally big for
that's
the
right.
NBA. I would say I understand what Michael's saying. You know, Mahomes has all the creativity and he has the sidearms and all those things that he does that makes him unique. But I would actually say that Russell Wilson maybe is a better comparison.
Yes.
Russell Wilson, now Patrick Mahomes did get Jordan Love drafted this year, I think, but Russell Wilson has set the tone for a smaller quarterback who is not traditional, and he has gotten a lot more guys drafted and kind of changed how we look at that position as far as what you need
like,
for the quarterback position.
Yeah, like some guys like LeBron. Nobody's drafting a player and saying, I think he's the next LeBron. Like, LeBron's just great. Patrick Mahomes is just great. Like, nobody's saying, I guess he plays a little loose, but sometimes somebody is just a unique generational talent. I don't think Kobe got guys drafted. I think Kobe's like, I don't think Michael Jordan got Kobe drafted. I think Kobe was great, and they said, he plays a little like Michael. But Mahomes to me is just what you want. 6'3.5", big arm, coachable, focused, fun, confident but not cocky. And I think about once a decade, we get one. That's about it.
Yeah. No, he's a dream. But to your point, I don't think he's going to get a lot of guys drafted. Although I do think that the comparison to Jordan Love did help him this year. So Taysom Hill took advantage of his first start at quarterback and led the Saints to a 24-9 victory over the Falcons Sunday. And one of the most glowing reviews came from Drew Brees.
Listen, I thought he played great. I thought he managed everything about this week, about the preparation. And then obviously just the way he played today, I thought it was magnificent. I felt like he was great in and out of the huddle, great with the tempo, made some really nice throws down the field, avoiding pressure, some great scrambles. And just, all in all, I felt like our offense had great tempo and great rhythm. And obviously that starts at the quarterback position.
Yeah, I think he surprised everybody, maybe except Sean Payton. I thought he was terrific. I don't think you could watch that and go, if he did this, I was like, he threw the ball way better than I thought he would throw the ball. Way better.
I wasn't sure what to expect, but if I'm being honest, I did not expect it to go as well as it did. I was leaning a little towards the negative, but I was just going to remain open-minded because, to your point, we got to trust Sean Payton. You know, he's a Super Bowl winning coach. Like, he sees him every day in practice. And there is something, too, similar to what happened in Miami with Tua. We got to win these games, and Jameis Winston is a wild factor, and he can go out there, and we know he can perform, but he can also perform for the other team, and we're not in a position to be losing games in spectacular fashion. So as long as Taysom can keep it afloat until Drew Brees gets back, which obviously, the injury is much more serious than we thought. Luckily, they have the Broncos this week, and then they have the Falcons again, and they're going to go into that game very confident after the way that they played this game. But I thought Taysom Hill was very impressive, and if he can continue playing like that, I think they're in great shape.
Yeah, good stuff. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Yeah, Jameis Winston's a little like Ryan Fitzpatrick, is that they're productive, they're athletic, they're gunslingers. But if you have a good defense and you need to win a game, you're nervous. Tua and Taysom Hill aren't going to make as many mistakes. Style's a little different. Maybe they don't have the ceiling of the more traditional pocket guy, But Sean Payton knows more than I do, and I thought Taysom Hill was really good. Football and Thanksgiving will combine the two in our best for last. That is coming up next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Well, you know, Thanksgiving and football, Joy, go together.
Three
games. Cowboys play, Lions play. We actually have Ravens Steelers play Thursday. We get one great game. Washington football team in Dallas is, we'll see. Andy Dalton looked pretty good. But I thought I would combine the two. And I'm going to – Thanksgiving foods, I'm going to compare them, Joy. Do we have any Thanksgiving music? To NFL quarterbacks. Are you ready for this?
I am ready. Let's go.
So Tom Brady is, of course, turkey. The staple of any holiday meal. A little dry. Some people say it's kind of a system food. Tom's in bed by 9 p.m. Turkey puts you to sleep by 8:30. Brady is turkey. Patrick Mahomes is ham. Better than turkey, but not as historic. Still on the rise. You can do a lot with ham. You can do a lot more with ham than turkey. You got ham in the house. You're never out of contention for a great dinner. You can do something with it. Big Ben is mashed potatoes. A little boring. You kind of know what you're going to get. Right behind turkey is a staple. It was once a nice, sturdy potato, but has been mashed over time. Russell Wilson is gravy. Kind of makes everything better, but if you're forced too much gravy, it can lead to kind of a mess, but it also covers up when something doesn't turn out right. Aaron Rodgers is sweet potato casserole. Flashiest dish on the table. A little arrogant. It knows how good it is. Initial impressions can turn people away. But when done right, best thing on the table. Baker Mayfield cranberry sauce. Some love it, some hate it. Not really a meal on its own. Drafted too high. You ask yourself, do we really need it? Taysom Hill is stuffing. Kind of a mix of everything. Rarely seen the rest of the year. Not exactly sure what it is. Different ways to use it. I'm not even really sure if it's a starter. Kyler Murray is pecan pie. It shouldn't work, but it does. I'm not sure if you'd choose it, but when you do, you always know you made the right choice. Not as traditional as pumpkin pie. By the way, he switched sports. This used to just be a nut. Now it's a dessert. It's very versatile. Derek Carr he's rolls. Very strong staple. Overlooked. It didn't take that long to prepare. Overlooked. It always rises with the right catalyst. Kind of limited. Not flashy, but you know, the right chef, Gruden, can make it really good. And finally, Jimmy G is the centerpiece. Looks good. Everybody stares at it. Very expensive. Not sure if it's your long-term future. Very fragile. And if you spend too much on it, you could really be questioning your decision and your judgment. There are my Thanksgiving pathetic quarterback comparisons.
Very strong. Very strong.
I'll tell you something. Russell Wilson does. He covers up for a lot of mistakes. The potatoes are dry.
I can't tell if gravy, ham, and potatoes are probably the most accurate comparisons.
There you go. So Nick Wright was on earlier today. I was saying that, free agency is fun in the NBA and in the NFL. It's much bigger in the NFL now than it used to be. You didn't have all the trades and free agent movement in the NFL 15, 20 years ago. You do now, young GMs, it's fun. But in the NBA, you know, we always know KD to the Warriors is big. It's way better than I thought it would work. But I thought Dennis Schroeder and Montrezl Harrell and Wes Matthews to the Lakers were like shockingly good moves. The Lakers had two or three issues. They weren't terribly deep. Now they are. They were kind of old. Now they're not. And they needed more shooting, and they delivered it. And Nick Wright was on earlier, and I said, I know they didn't get a superstar, but is it me or did the Lakers, the defending champs, get significantly better in the last week?
Kyle Kuzma is their 10th man. They addressed all of the needs. And the other element is this. Teams in the West got better, But the contenders in the West didn't get better. The contenders that got better are all in the East. The one major loss the Lakers had, Colin, is Avery Bradley. And with respect to Avery, they won the title without him. I mean, I don't blame him for not being in the bubble, but there's no question about can they win without him. Well, they did. So, yeah, it was a masterful offseason by Rob Pelinka.
It really was. I mean, Golden State with Klay is now out of their way in the West. The Clippers still have chemistry issue. Houston's done. Their stars won out. Denver and Milwaukee are very good, but they're not free agent destination long term. So, I don't know. I thought to myself, I know we don't talk a lot of NBA during the football season. I don't unless it's LeBron, but I thought the Lakers had an unbelievable. They got deeper, they got younger, and they added guys who could hit threes. It was like, is Kuzma their ninth or tenth best player? You know, I'd get it if Kuzma on a championship team should probably be your sixth. He's their ninth or tenth. It's the Herd. We'll see you tomorrow.